This is Rhema for Today.
But we've come to the place almost in the church and in the charismatic move particularly that only the two offices, pastor and teacher, are recognized. Well, thank God for the teaching ministry. God had to restore that. We just about lost it. There had to be a revival of the teaching ministry, the Word of God. It seems that the church gets in a ditch on one side of the road or on the other side instead of going down the middle of the road. And God almost has to just swing us over to the other side to get us back in the middle of the road. Are you listening to me? But there must come the time, if we're going to do the work of God, when we recognize, particularly, there are other ministries, we know that, he lists some of them, but particularly these main five-fold ministries.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Craig Hagen and Denise Hagen Burns. Kenneth E. Hagen continues his teaching, Jesus is Coming Again, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagen for today's message.
You go to reading, though, in the New Testament, and you will find that there's about 26 or 27 different people that's called apostles. Jesus, you know, count Jesus, he's called one. Then in the 13th chapter of Acts, the Word of God said that there were in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas, mentions the names of three more men, ends up with the name of Saul. So Barnabas and Saul were either of prophet and a teacher, or a prophet or a teacher. They weren't either one of them apostles. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the second verse said, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. And so then they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. And the scripture said, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed on what we call their first missionary journey. Now in Acts 14:14 it says, now when the apostles, Barnabas and Saul, see, Barnabas is called an apostle because Paul said, writing to Timothy, I am a preacher, a teacher, and an apostle to the Gentiles. What do you mean apostle to the Gentiles? I am specially sent. Amen. To the Gentiles. We could call him a missionary to the Gentiles if we wanted to. Amen. And there are people today, blessed be God, in that category of apostles. They're forerunners. Paul preached where the gospel had never been preached. They called Smith Wigglesworth an apostle of faith. There's no doubt about what he was, an apostle of faith. He was sent especially for that purpose, you see. And so we have, but you see, we haven't recognized those offices. Then the office of the prophet. I said, well, we don't need prophets nowadays. Everybody's got the Spirit of God. Yeah, but everybody's not a prophet, even though everybody has got the Spirit of God. In the New Testament church, he said, let the prophets speak two or three and the others judge. Then when it comes to prophesying, though, he said, you may all prophesy. All believers could do that, Spirit-filled believers, one by one. But there is an office of the prophet. Did you hear me now? And of course, there's the office of evangelists. But we've come to the place almost in the church and in the charismatic move particularly that only the two offices, pastor and teacher, are recognized. Well, thank God for the teaching ministry. God had to restore that. We just about lost it. There had to be a revival of the teaching ministry, the Word of God. It seems that the church gets in a ditch on one side of the road or on the other side instead of going down the middle of the road. And God almost has to just swing us over to the other side to get us back in the middle of the road. Are you listening to me? But there must come the time, if we're going to do the work of God, when we recognize, particularly, there are other ministries, we know that, he lists some of them, but particularly these main five-fold ministry. We recognize them and we honor them and permit them to function in the way that God wants them to function. Are you listening to me? And then, of course, what we call the gifts of the Spirit are manifestations of the Holy Ghost. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith or special faith, as the Amplified has it, to another the working of miracles, to another gifts of healings, to another discerning of spirits, to another prophecy, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now notice this next verse. But all of these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Not dividing the gift, dividing the manifestation of the gift. To tell you the real truth about the matter, what we call the gifts of the Spirit belong to the church. They've just been lying dormant. They were there all the time. The manifestation of them is given to the individual member of the body of Christ as the Spirit wills. Now we need to see this, that those standing in certain offices are more or less equipped with some of these gifts. They have to function in that office. Like, for instance, the office of the prophet, for instance. Naturally, the word of knowledge would have to manifest itself. Maybe at least two of the revelation gifts, that is, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and our discerning of spirits, plus prophecy. Of course, he has to call God upon him through the ministry. Paul evidently was a prophet and a teacher, and Barnabas was a teacher, and both of them became apostles. Because a prophet is one who has visions and revelation. But the word of knowledge operates in it. Now, any believer might have a manifestation of the word of knowledge as the need arose. I've had pastors to tell me that's good men, love God. One pastor said, I only had one manifestation of the word of knowledge in all my years. I'd held a meeting for him. Was holding a meeting for him. He had pastored another church that I'd held a meeting for. He wasn't the pastor when I held the meeting there. And he followed him. He said, we put a new roof on the church. I was helping the men up on the church just to putting on shingles in the middle of the afternoon, setting up there, you know, shingling. Snarble Hayes said, just tending my own business, minding my own business. Suddenly right in front of me, just like a runoff on a TV screen, right in front of me, I saw one of my members' house, I'd been there. I saw all these cars parked around it. Then I'm inside. I'm standing there, and he's got about 30 members of my church, and he said to them, now, folks, I didn't tell you what I called this meeting for. I wanted to be secret, didn't want to know it. I contacted personally, but said, the Lord's led me to get up a petition to put the pastor out. God's through with him here. That's all he saw. He said, I climbed down the ladder with my work clothes on, just got in my car and drove over there. Didn't wait, you know, knock, just opened the door and stepped inside. There he was with all these people. And I looked in, his eyes got big. He said, folks, may I say something? I was up on top of the church, shingling. And suddenly I saw it right out in front of me, just like you'd see it on a TV screen, this meeting. And I heard this man say, I've called you here secretly. We're going to get up a petition. I want you to sign it. We're going to put the pastor out. He said, I want you to know the Lord sent me over to tell you that I'm not out. He's not through with me here yet. Well, you see, he had a miracle to back him up. I said, he had a miracle to back him up. You said, did you get anybody to sign the petition? Yeah, him and his wife. And she let the pastor know, and I just signed it, said just so to, you know, because if I didn't, said when I got home, it hell to be paid. You know what she meant, man wasn't right with God. He'd get mad and fuss and cuss. No, they didn't put him out. He said, that's the only one I ever had. I'm sure if he needed some more, they'd have come. But one who's called to that office would have more of a manifestation along that line. I'm thoroughly convinced, like I said, we've seen these things again and again. But I, you know, manifestations here, manifestations there. But we're going to have a renewal along this line. Amen. They'll be in manifestation even more. We're seeing it. I'm seeing it in my own ministry. Others are seeing it. Now, in conclusion, I can't say everything I'd like to say, my time's gone. But I want you to turn with me to the 5th chapter of Luke for just a moment and look at another portion of Scripture. And then we want to get the picture of what the Lord's saying to us. I want you to notice the 36th verse first. And he, Jesus, spake also a parable unto them. And he went on to talk about no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with old. Now notice this now, 37. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Now, actually, what he's saying, you have to understand something here. He's using an illustration. You see, these old wine bottles were used to skin bottles. And that they put that wine in there, and it would swell up. Sometimes that bottle would take a different kind of a shape. It'd be all lopsided. Or then you leave the bottle, it grows old and wrinkly. And it would just simply... If you put wine into it, burst. But they'd take those wine skins and renew them, or refurbish them. First, they'd soak them in water, long time. And then secondly, they would take olive oil and rub them till they became soft again and pliable. Then they could put wine in them, and they're new bottles. They won't burst. Are you listening to me?
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Craig Hagin and Denise Hagin Burns. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Lynette Hagin's CD, Navigating Life Without Stress. Next is Pastor Kenneth Hagin's book entitled Jesus' Name Above All Names. We're also offering Craig Hagin's CD entitled The Mindset of a Champion. Last but not least is Denise Hagin Burns' CD entitled Holy Spirit, The Ultimate Best Friend. All these items for the special price of only $29. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Craig Hagin and Denise Hagin Burns.
Also, one more thing I would talk about. You know, it's kind of interesting that our grandfather has a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I don't even know if YouTube was around whenever he passed away.
I don't think it was.
But, you know, we have over 200,000 subscribers now. So, you know, if you want some free, teaching by Brother Hagin, if you'll go to the Kenneth E. Hagin YouTube channel, it's called Rhema Kenneth E. Hagin, our official YouTube channel as well. And if you want to know anything about Rhema, if you go to rhema.org, you can find out everything there is to know about Rhema.
Tomorrow on Rhema for Today, we'll continue Kenneth E. Hagin's life-changing teaching. That's next time on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.